looking at the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. In the morning, we are looking at the Holy Spirit through the lens of doctrine. What does the Bible actually teach about the Holy Spirit? In our evening study at 4:30, we're taking a more practical look on how can I apply to my life, how can I apply this doctrine or this scripture to my life so that the Holy Spirit can have total access to my life. And the reason we're looking at the Holy Spirit through these two lenses is because as people, we tend to go to extremes. Yet God wants us to live a balanced life. God never wants us to bury the application of Scripture because of our theological beliefs. But He also never intended it for us to be controlled by our emotions at the expense of Bible doctrine. So that's our plan for the next 6 weeks, and we're sticking to it. All right? This is our third study in this series. And I would encourage you all tonight to come back for our study at 4:30. We're answering the question, why are you afraid? If we actually have God living in us, why are we afraid? And we're going to be looking at that tonight at 4:30. The past 2 weeks, we've been looking through the first section of what we believe about the Holy Spirit. And this is the section we've been working through. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, sent by God to convict and regenerate sinners, as well as to indwell, seal, guide, instruct, comfort, and empower believers for godly living and service. In our study so far, we have looked at, first of all, number one, the triunity of God, better known as the Trinity. And we looked at the fact that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And even though each one of them has a different role or a different function in the Godhead, they are all equal. They are all God. That's what we call the Trinity. They're one God. We also looked at, that the Holy Spirit is a person. We looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit throughout Scriptures has the attributes of a person, but we also looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit is God, because the Holy Spirit has attributes of God because He is God. And this morning, we want to take a look at the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I would encourage you to take notes this morning. I know some of you love to take notes. I would also encourage the rest of you to take notes, because I'm going to give you a lot of scripture this morning, and we don't have time necessarily to look at it, but it's important for us to know what we believe. And it doesn't matter what I think, what matters what God says. So we need to know what we believe based on scripture. Then we also need to know to defend what we believe based on scripture. So I'd encourage you to write these verses down. Judy, she's using her a workbook from night at nighttime, the workbook on the unknown God. So all her notes are together for forgotten God. Yeah, not the unknown God. Yeah, forgotten God. And so all her notes are together on our studies of the Holy Spirit. So maybe you want to do that. But the work of the Holy Spirit. First thing is this: the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Although Jesus was leaving His disciples, He promised to send them someone just like Himself. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor. That's another word for the Holy Spirit. Another counselor to be with you forever. John chapter 14, verse 16. Remember what we said the Greek word for another meant? What's that? No, you had it. I think you almost had it. What did we say that word for another man? It was just last week. Yeah, the same. One of the same kind. And Jesus says, if Jesus Christ is God, then obviously, if he's going to send someone of the same kind, then obviously the Holy Spirit is God as well. Now, this promise given by Jesus is an anticipation of the Holy Spirit's arrival at Pentecost. Moreover, Jesus taught that the Holy Spirit would begin a new ministry when he arrived. And that new ministry for him was the indwelling, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. John chapter 14 and verse 17. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had a ministry. But in the New Testament, that ministry would become even greater. Prior to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was with them. That means that he was alongside of them. But after Pentecost, after his arrival at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would be in them. This change from temporal dwelling on the believer to permanent dwelling in the believer is a huge change. And let me tell you, it is a great blessing to us that try to live this Christian life during the church age. But please understand that this indwelling, A, is not for everyone. This indwelling is not for everyone. The Holy Spirit is not for everyone. If you are here this morning and you've never come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then it is impossible for you to have the Holy Spirit residing in you. If you've never come to that point in your life where you realize that you are a sinner, and because of your sin, you could have no relationship with God. There was a barrier. And if you haven't come to that point where you say, God, I just need you. I need my sins forgiven. I want to have a relationship with you. See, if that has never happened in your personal life, then it's impossible for you to have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's impossible for you to ever do anything for God. You can work forever, and it'll only end up being wood, hay, and stubble, ultimately burnt up. Because we can only do things for God as God empowers us. Now, if you're here and you're not sure that you've accepted Christ, you could do that today. The Bible says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. John says, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave what? A gift. His son. See, that's why Jesus died. He died to take away the sins of the world. And when you and I accept his gift, then at that very moment, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us. So if you don't know Christ in a personal way, then the Spirit isn't in you. See, the Spirit's not for everyone. It's only for believers. Indwelling does not happen before salvation. Indwelling happens at salvation. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Jude writes it like this when he says, but you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ told you, that in the last days, the last times, there will be scoffers whose purpose in life is to enjoy themselves in every evil way imaginable. Now they are here. And they are not the ones who are creating divisions among you. Excuse me. And they are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They live by natural instinct because they do not have God's Spirit living in them. Jude verses 17 and 19. Now that's the bad news. The bad news is that the Holy Spirit is not for everyone. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit is for all believers. This Holy Spirit is for all believers. Paul is writing a letter to some legalistic. Do you have any legalistic believers in your life? Well, Paul did too. And he's writing to some legalistic people in Galatia when he had to remind them that the Spirit started not when they lived out the law, but the Spirit started at salvation. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. To the local church in Rome, Paul writes this. Paul writes this. He says, "And this expectation will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And to the local church in Corinth, Paul writes, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul writes to three different churches with three different sets of issues, but he gives the same message. If you have come to know Christ in a personal way, then you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And not only do you have the Holy Spirit living in you, but see, it's there permanently. It is permanent. You ever hear of the term eternal security? Well, you just did, so pay attention, all right? There are some that believe that the Holy Spirit leaves you when you sin, and that he only resides in you when you are walking in the Spirit. Now, we don't believe that the Bible teaches that. We believe that once the Holy Spirit sets up residency, he never leaves the house. So consequently, he can never disindwell you. I didn't look that word up, and I don't even think it's a word, but I made it up, all right? He never disindwells you. Paul is writing to a carnal church in Corinth, and he reminded them of this. "Well, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" 1 Corinthians 6, 19. These people are carnal believers. You say, well, what's a carnal believer? Well, a carnal believer is a person that is now choosing to live their own life as they want to live it instead of how God wants them to live it. It's a carnal believer would be somebody who has a relationship with Christ, but it's difficult to tell them any differently than the world. So he's writing to these carnal believers. Yet Paul reminds them, even though they're carnal, even though they're living in probably most of a known sin, he's reminding them that even though you're carnal, he says that the Holy Spirit is in you. We've already looked at what Jesus had to say about the permanency of the Holy Spirit. When he said this, he said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will" what? "Never leave you." Dan Ward, help us out. What's that mean? That's exactly right. That means exactly what it says. He will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you do, because he lives with you now and later will be with you. John 14, 16 to 17. Furthermore, if the Spirit leaves a sinning Christian, then they no longer can be a Christian, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ," what does it say? He does not belong to Christ. So it's impossible. If the Holy Spirit was to leave you, you couldn't be a Christian anymore. Because you can only be a Christian or a follower of Christ with when God lives in you. Our sin, as hideous as it is, our sin does not make the Holy Spirit leave. What our sin does do is it affects the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As we saw last week, you and I, with our lives and the choices we make, can grieve the Spirit. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. We can also quench the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why he says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. Now, although we believe in the eternal security of the believer, I would warn you this morning that if you are regularly repeating the same sins that you were doing 4 or 5 years ago, you should re-examine your life to see if the Holy Spirit ever entered into your life. There is nothing that you and I can do to remove the Holy Spirit from our lives. Because, number two, the Holy Spirit seals us. The Holy Spirit seals us. Any of you ever watch Westerns growing up? Yeah, what were some of your favorites? John Wayne. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody else? Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Happy trails to you. Until we met again. Myron Parketta. Well, you know what? I'm encouraged because I don't remember them. So that encourages me. Rin Tin Tin, I remember him, yeah. Gunsmoke, the Lone Ranger. Some of these are still on TV. F Troop? Yeah, I'm sure that was might be, we got some military guys there with the F Troop. Is that was a true story? Yeah. One thing, if you watch Westerns, one of the things that the ranchers would always do to show ownership of their cattle, what did they do? They would brand them, right? They would take their branding iron and burn the owner's brand into the hide of the animal. My friends, God has done the same thing to us. He has placed his mark, his seal of ownership on believers. At the very moment of salvation, at the very moment we receive Christ, God brands us with the Holy Spirit. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And then Paul tells the people at Ephesus, he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were, what? Sealed for the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Now look at this verse with me. Help me out. We are sealed until when? The day of redemption. The day that we receive our new bodies. The day that we meet Christ face to face. Because we won't need to be sealed anymore. If salvation could be lost, then this sealing would not be until the day of redemption. It would be until next day I sinned. Yeah, next time I sinned. Or it would only be good until I walked in apostasy or walked in unbelief. I believe on the authority of the Word of God that a Christian cannot do anything to lose their salvation. They can sin, that will lead to a physical death, Paul tells us in Corinthians. We can sin so that we lose rewards. We can have our works burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. But there is nothing that you and I can do, if you're a true believer, that can make you unsaved. God did all the work in salvation, and He will do all the work in keeping you saved. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to seal us until we see Christ face to face. You might be thinking this morning, well, Pastor, if that is true, how can people that claim to know Christ as their Savior just kind of walk away? Walk away from God, walk away from the church, walk away out of our lives? Or how can people call themselves Christians and some of you have experienced it, can do some of the nastiest things in the world to you? Well, when it comes to ungodly actions of those that claim to know Christ, this would be my question to them. Are you a professor or a possessor? Huge difference. There's a huge difference between one that claims to know Christ and one that has God dwelling within them. But if you are a possessor, you can feel rest assured that God will not break His seal that He has on you. Not only are we sealed, but number three, the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. I don't know about you, but I just love having a GPS. When I was growing up, my dad used to like to take shortcuts. They were never a shortcut. Some of you guys had dads like that too? Oh, yeah. My mother would be arguing with him on the whole trip, which would even make it longer. But, oh, he said, oh, Maxine, I know this is a shortcut to get there. To get here? Yeah. I know. I've been on some of those trips. But I just love a GPS. When Judy and I drove to South Carolina to have Christmas with our kids, it was so nice just to put in the address and listen to her. Ours was a girl. Listen to her guide us all the way to from Manchester, New Hampshire to Columbia, South Carolina. Well, you know what? No, it's not the Holy Spirit. And I think it has to do with the people that are programming it, maybe. No, that's what I'm thinking. It's coming back. It's almost there. The GPS. Yeah. Unlike the GPS we have, God has put a perfect GPS in us. And it's called the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Romans 8, verse 14. See, we even see the Holy Spirit guiding people in the Bible. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. You can know this for a fact. The Holy Spirit will never, ever. He will never lead you contrary to this book. He never will. Because, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your spiritual, sinful nature craves. Galatians 5 and 16. If someone is telling you something that's contrary to the Word of God, it very well might be the Spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. You with me? Because that's important. Because you got a lot of people, and Bill shared it this morning, you got a lot of people running around saying this is of God, or I have a word from God, and it doesn't line up with Scripture. You can be 100% sure that it's not the Holy Spirit that's doing that. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Holy Word of God. Therefore, Paul goes on, he says, therefore, he who rejects the instruction or the Bible, all right, the Word of God, does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 8. Oh, and by the way, unlike Laurel's GPS, my GPS worked. It got us to South Carolina. We put our complete trust in it, and it got us right to our final destination, safe and sound. Yeah. Can I remind you? The Holy Spirit will do the same thing. The Holy Spirit wants to do the same thing in your life and mine. He will get us to our final destination, safe and sound, if we trust Him and allow Him to guide us. Not only does He guide us, number four, the Holy Spirit teaches us. He teaches us. When Judy and I were in Israel, we had Kenny as our guide. We went with Jimmy DeYoung, and he was our Bible teacher, but our Jewish guide was Kenny. And as Kenny traveled with us all over Israel, he explained the story of Masada. He explained the ruins of Caesarea. Kenny even went on the Jesus boat with us on the Sea of Galilee and explained to us what it would have been like for the disciples to have been fishing at night. God has also given us a teacher in the Holy Spirit. One of the last promises Jesus gave his disciples before the crucifixion was the promise of a teacher. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. John 16, verses 12 to 15. And John writes this. John says, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you. So you don't need anyone else to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you all things, and what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So continue in what He has taught you and continue to live in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 27. 1 John, yes, that's right. See, I'm like a GPS. I'm not always right. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. Now, after reading a verse like this, some of you may be thinking, oh, I love that verse. I don't need to listen to the pastor anymore to teach me. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to come to that Bible study on Sunday night. I don't have to be in Sunday school. I can just sit at home and let the Holy Spirit teach me. Now, if someone said that to you, what would you say? It's not biblical, but the verse just said that the Holy Spirit, I don't need anybody else to teach me. Do not forsake the gathering. Yeah. No, that's very right. That's very true. And that's what you do. We've talked about this before. In order to understand what a passage means, we always need to interpret Scripture with Scripture. If not, we'll be running in all kinds of different directions. So what does this mean? Well, let me tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean that you don't need teachers. The reason I say that, if we didn't need teachers, why would the Holy Spirit give the gift of teaching to some? If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, do a good job of teaching. Romans chapter 12 and verse 7. Why would the Holy Spirit give us a gift that wasn't needed? Well, he wouldn't. What John is writing here, and you can go back and study it on your own, and I'd encourage you to do that. What John is writing about here is false teachers in the church. And he is saying to the believers that no man really has to tell you the truth, because the Holy Spirit will confirm it to you. See, you and I need human teachers, as this is a necessary part of God's plan for us to grow, to instruct us and to prepare us for God's work. But it's the Holy Spirit that ultimately authenticates that the teaching is correct. I'll give you an example. Just the other day, someone came in to me and they brought in some things that they were reading. They said, Pastor, I was reading this religious material and it's just something tells me that it's not true. And you know what? That person was correct. How does this happen? It happens when we listen as the Holy Spirit authenticates truth from error. That's what it means when it says the Holy Spirit teaches us. Yes, he takes the word of God that is shared by your Sunday school teacher or your friend or the pastor or whoever you're getting that word of God from. He does take that and he takes it to deeper levels than we're able to take. But he also can, his Holy Spirit can tell us what is truth and what is error if we would but listen to him. So he teaches us. Number five, and we're almost done. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. There are numerous verses in the Bible that tell us that the Holy Spirit comforts us, but let me just share a couple with you. Jesus called him the Comforter. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Paul writes that the church grows when it accesses the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. And then this last one, we'll close with this morning. Not only is the part of the Holy Spirit's work is to encourage us, but lastly, number six, the Holy Spirit empowers us. Part of his work is to empower us. As you know, I don't have to tell you, if you're a believer, you struggle with this, just like I struggle with this. But there are two natures in the believer. You have the flesh, which is the old nature, and then you have the spirit, which is the new nature. And even though as believers we are still in the flesh, we are not to live after the flesh. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are empowered to obey God. Look at what our life looks like when we allow our flesh to empower us. When you allow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. Now let me just remind you of this as well. Don't think that you have to, that all these things that are on this list, that all these things are going on in your life at once, to be under the power of your sinful nature. If you have one of these things, going on in your life. You're under the power of your sinful or old nature. And if you continue in these things, God says, you are not saved. That's what he says. That's what our lives look like. And I mean, this could, you look at this list and you could find it probably those things and more in any newspaper going on as we speak. But listen for a second. Or follow me. Look at what our lives look like when we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Take a second and don't speak out, but just think about for a second, which of these lists would best describe your life? Do you have a life of anger, or do you have a life of peace? Are you running after what the world has to offer, or are you living a self-controlled life? See, when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, our lives are different than when we allow our lives to be empowered by the old flesh, the old nature. The only way that you and I can live the life that God intends for us to live is by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Paul continues to write to the Galatians when he says this, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 to 25. So as we close this morning, let me ask you, do you see the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life? As you look back on this past week, do you see yourself walking in step with the Holy Spirit? And if not, why not? If you don't see the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life, it very well might be that the Spirit is not in your life. But if you look at your life and you can see the evidence of God, the Holy Spirit in your life, be encouraged, because he is there to empower you. He is there to help you. And not only today, and not only for tomorrow, and not only for next week, but he is there to help you until the day of redemption. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, there's nothing you will ever face in your life alone. Because he, God, has sealed you. He's indwelt you. He's empowered you. And with God, you can do anything. I want to close with a song this morning. You may just remain